Take your Bible, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter number 22. And let's all settle ourselves. And of course, it's time for the preaching of the Word of God. We'll only walk out if it's an emergency and then make as little fanfare as possible. We'll laugh together if it's laughing time. We'll cry together if it's crying time. But we certainly want to give our attention to the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 22, I want you to find verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1. And as is our custom, would you please stand for the reading of the Word of God? If you ever wonder why we do that, well, one reason, we stand out of reverence to the Word of God. Secondly, gives you just a moment of break before the sermon. And now, here we go. Proverbs chapter 22, starting with verse number 1, I'm going to read out loud, and you may follow along silently. The Bible says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them." Verse number 6 is the verse that will get us started today. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The sermon today is it's entitled Lessons from Dad. Lessons from Dad. And let's pray. Father, I ask that you would reach down from heaven and take a meeting of mere human beings and turn it into a heavenly supernatural meeting. We can't do that on the basis of our own personalities, but when your Holy Spirit gets involved, you can take this meeting to another level. God, I don't want us just to meet here and talk and move about as mere humans, but might you get involved and may you talk to us and may you move in our midst. It's Father's Day down here, Lord. Help us today that we would be better dads and children because we came to church. Father, minimize the interruption so we can concentrate on the Word of God, please. Speak to us. Make a difference in our lives, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there if you will. I call the sermon today Lessons from Dad. The Bible says here, train up a child in the way he should go. And dads, I'm going to talk to you in a few minutes about those things that we ought to be teaching our children. But you know, when you think about Father's Day, God is our Father. If you're a born-again Christian, God is your dad. And I think all of us reach out to our earthly dads, and if you don't, you ought to. But on this day, we make a pretty big deal about our earthly dads, but I don't think anybody ought to forget about the fact we have a Heavenly Father, and it wouldn't hurt you to turn to your Heavenly Father today and thank Him for being a good dad. And every once in a while, someone said, well, my dad let me down in this area or that area, or, you know, my dad's not what he ought to be. I'll remind you of two things. The first of which is this: your heavenly Father has never let you down, nor ever will let you down. So you do have a good dad. But secondly, your earthly father, he gave you exactly what you needed. You say, what is that? He gave you life. And that life means that if you're born again, you have then eternal life. If your dad was the greatest louse in the world, and he wasn't, but if he was, he gave you life, and that life then leads to the possibility of eternal life. And so you get to experience heaven because your dad helped you to get into this life. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 89:26, "He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." God is our Father. And then, dads, do you realize the title that you get to carry in life? I have children that call me Father, and that's the same title that God carries. He calls himself the Heavenly Father. And he tells us that fathers in this life then should be teaching and training their children. And I don't want to leave it at that. Not only does God command that dads be teaching their kids, but that kids be receiving what dad tries to give them. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Dad, you are to instruct. Now, folks, I don't want you to lose track of something. You all, those of you that are members of our church, it's been this way for years and years and years here at this church, and I don't want it to change, but you're going to have to accept something. There are going to be people in our society, they're going to look at us and some of the things that we say, and they're going to say, "You're outdated." The Bible's never outdated. There's so many things that are happening in our society today, if we're not careful, we're going to just accept it all as if it's gospel, and it's not. Somehow, there are so many, you know, I told my Sunday school class earlier, some people think that Sunday school is just for kids. Phooey, Sunday school is not just for kids. That's just something that's developed where people become too lazy to come to Sunday school. But Sunday school is for adults, too. You say, why? Well, we're all God's kids, right? So we. And do you ever get enough Bible? No, you don't. And to ever think that you do get enough Bible is arrogant and proud. But it's almost as if today they want to say Sunday school is not for kids, or not for adults, but it is. There's something else that happens today. Somehow we tend to think that the rearing and the training of the children all falls to the mother. Now, I don't know where that's at in the Bible either. That's not true. That's not true at all. What happens is, in our society today, they kind of develop this attitude that mom does all the training of the kids and dad just goes and earns the living. That is not what the Bible teaches at all. And so we might seem a little odd, but mom and dad are a team that are going to help to rear the children together, and dad is supposed to be a major part of the rearing of the children and the training of the children. Hey, and dads and moms are to instruct the kids. You young people, you need to know something. The Bible teaches when mom and dad are instructing you to do right, then you're supposed to go do what you are instructed to do. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." It says in Proverbs 23:22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee." I have to tell you, I sometimes feel so sorry for moms and dads. Because moms and dads can teach children to do the right thing. Moms and dads can tell them the difference between right and wrong. And then kids will go and do wrong anyway. Now you listen to me, young people. Mom and dad, when they teach you to do the right thing and they provide right for you and you don't do it, you don't understand how you hurt mom and dad by not doing the right thing. And moms and dads, so you all understand, you hang in there. And dads, you keep teaching right and you keep insisting on right. And I realize that children will, sometimes they'll choose to do wrong when you taught them to do right. But dad, at least be able to hold your head high and say, "I taught them the difference between right and wrong. I taught them the right thing." And you say, "Oh, I'm embarrassed. My child messed up. My child did this. My child did that." Well, let me explain something to you. The Heavenly Father has children that misbehave, and He's a good dad. And it doesn't make you a bad dad because your kid did something stupid. There are sometimes kids do stupid things, just like God's kids do stupid things, but God's still a good dad. God's a perfect dad. And so, but children, you're supposed to listen to mom and dad. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:20, "My son, keep thy father's commandments." This does not just mean dad's commands. It's God's commands, dad's commands, and there's some principles in life that God will teach us. Over and over again in the Scripture, God tells us that fathers are to teach. Fathers are not just to be providers. Don't leave mom to do all the teaching, not with your sons and or your daughters. Dads are supposed to be involved. Hey, listen, this needs to be said. You can father a child, but that does not make you a good dad. You can father a child. You can produce a child, but just because you produced a child does not make you a good dad. You say, "Well, what would make me a good dad?" Doing what the Scripture teaches and being involved in teaching and instructing and helping the children as they grow. Well, I'm going to start out today, and I want to say this first of all. Children, you should submit to your father, and you ought to be a blessing to them. I'm going to give you some scripture real quickly, but remember, young people, children, there's a submission and a reverence that ought to be towards your daddy. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 1, the Bible says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father. Here the Bible's saying that when a child, a son or a daughter, when they are behaving wisely, that sure can make your dad glad. You know, when I was growing up, there were times when I wanted my dad to be glad. You say, why? I had seen when my dad was not glad, and this did not make me glad. And so, but here God said, a wise son maketh a glad father. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:21, he that begatteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Here the Bible's saying, young people, if you're behaving foolishly, you'll rob your dad of joy. If you want your dad to be glad, then you're to do right. And if you want your dad to have joy, you're to do right. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:25, a foolish son is grief to his father. Grief. I don't want to be grief to my father. I don't want to be grief to my earthly father. And I don't want to be grief to my heavenly father. And every young person in here, you ought to want to make your dad glad. You ought to want to provide your dad joy. You should not want to bring grief to your dad. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. Calamity. Sounds like a car wreck. You let a child just get totally out of sorts and start doing anything they want, you may see dad go into car wreck mode. But it says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. I guess there's nothing like a child doing wrong or doing stupid things that can pull out a dad calamity behavior. All dads are saying, I need to control myself, I need to be patient, I need to be kind, I need to handle things right, and then the kid goes and does something stupid, and you're not patient, you're not kind, you get all wound up, and it's like the calamity hit. Yeah, and God said, a foolish son is the calamity of his father. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. You say, what's that talking about? Punch your lights out. Let me explain. The Bible does make it very clear, young people, that if you do not honor your father and mother, you can shorten your life. You can shorten your life. The Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's one of the Ten Commandments. When you listen to mom and dad, when you do right scripturally by mom and dad, God can lengthen your life. When you don't do what mom and dad teach you, you can shorten your life. And you say, give me an illustration. If dad said, don't play on the train track, and you do anyway, get ready, bud. Your life is going to get shortened sooner or later. And that's not the only concept of life. They're just, God says, treat dad right, and God has a way of lengthening your life. Proverbs 28:7 says, whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. That's not righteous, it was riotous. It's talking about rioters, talking about troublemakers. Let me tell you something, young people. When you run with the wrong crowd, when you run with the crowd that has you doing wrong things, you will bring shame to your dad. And that's what the Bible teaches. See, the Bible teaches that if a child will do right, they can make their dad glad. They can provide for their dad joy. They can keep dad from having a calamity. You can keep from shaming your father. Now, dads, I think there's a lot of things that we can teach our children. I think young men and young ladies both ought to be taught some things by dad. And I don't just mean scripturally. We're going to talk about some of them before we get out of here today. But it doesn't hurt you to teach your boy how to fish. And doesn't hurt you to teach your boy maybe to hunt or to ride a bike. How to tie his tie. How to throw a ball. Dads, listen to me. Teach your boy to throw a ball like a boy. Nothing more embarrassing for a boy than to throw a ball like a girl. If you have to, Mom, step up and teach Dad how to throw like a man. Teach a boy how to whittle and try to keep the knife off his finger, how to polish his shoes, and how to zip his pants. Every man needs to be taught those things. There are things that daughters need to be taught, you know. it'd be best if you'd teach your daughter not to go around beating up the boys. It's a little harder to find a man to marry if she beats up boys all the time. You need to teach your daughter how to drive. Oh, could I tell you? When it was time for my daughter to learn how to drive, she went to my wife and said, "Oh, please, Mom, you teach me, not Dad." I get a little tense sometimes when I'm in my instructing mode. So I can remember it. Look, you got to teach your daughter how to pick a husband. How not to nag. I'm really getting some shots in here. Hey, tell you what you do. You got to teach it. Was that you, Nofsinger? Park there a while. Man, you're so courageous in public. You got to teach your daughter the difference between gasoline and kerosene for the sake of your mower. I know. I didn't teach her. She came in, my daughter said, "Daddy, the mower, it just stopped running." I said, "Well, they don't usually do that." "Well, it stopped and it won't run and I don't know what's wrong with it." I went out and about gave myself a heart attack trying to get the stupid thing started because I said, "It's not that difficult." You know how dads are. "It's not that difficult. What's wrong with you? You just pull this thing and it starts." And I pulled and I pulled and I pulled and pulled, about ready to have a heart attack. I said, "Is there gas in it?" She said, "It is full." I looked at it. There was gas in it. It was running like a charm. Nice snapper $600 push mower. One of the best because I don't want to have a problem with my mower. She said, "Well, Daddy, I went and got that can and I put the fuel in it." I said, "Which can?" "Is kerosene. $600 snapper mower. Caused calamity in my life." Dads, there are scriptural things that we ought to be involved in and we ought to teach our kids. There are practical things that we ought to teach our kids. You know, my kids were growing up, they learned how to change the tire on the car and they learned how to do some things for themselves. Young people, you're so busy with your electronic devices and social media. Let me tell you something, life is not made up of those things. And parents, we've got to instruct our kids so they have some normalcy about themselves so they can conduct life successfully and survive. I'm going to mention some things, and I'll use scripture now for the next few minutes, and I want to talk to you about things that dad should teach their children. First of all, dads, let me tell you something. You ought to be very involved and committed to the fact that your children need to be taught about salvation. There's a heaven and there's a hell. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation if I succor thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Every dad here, you ought to want your child, the moment that they could understand salvation, you should want them to get born again. You say, "Well, what do you do?" Keep them under the sound of the gospel. Keep them where the preaching is taking place. And parents, you ought to learn how to be soul winners. If for no other reason, you ought to be able to tell your own children how to go to heaven when they die. But a dad ought to be interested in his children being saved. And a dad ought to be insisting on keeping that child under the sound of the gospel. But not only that, I think every dad ought to be teaching their children about the importance of the Bible and letting the Bible be the final authority in their life. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." My children, when they grew up in our home, they watched their dad time and time again make decisions not based on what was happening in the national media, not based on our emotions, not based on what everybody else thought, but we would say, "We've got a decision to make. What does the Bible say?" And there's way too many of them. The reason why some of you are such weak Christians, you just every once in a while go to the Bible to figure out what to do. I spend every day of my life figuring what the Bible wants me to do. All decisions, you ought to be teaching your children that decisions ought to be made by the Bible. The Bible's not an opinion book. It's a mandate from God. We ought to want to pass down our Bible convictions to our children. My children know that we believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. My children know that we're Baptists. And be careful, folks. You assume those things, and you're assuming wrongly. Dad, you ought to be teaching those things and helping your children to grow in that aspect. Teach your kids the importance of salvation. Teach your kids the importance of the authority of the Word of God. Hey, I think dads, you ought to be teaching your children that the old-time religion is right. Proverbs 22:28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Don't be ashamed. If you're a guest here today, thank you for coming. And I don't certainly want to be overbearing with you, but I have to tell you something. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist. I believe in the old-time way. I believe in the old-time religion. I can't start making apologies for that because I don't have anything for which I ought to apologize. That's what I am, and that's what I plan to be. And listen, I wanted to raise my children that way. I'm not ashamed of old-time gospel hymns. I'm not ashamed of the fact that I go to an old time religion Baptist church. I'm not ashamed of that. And dads, we ought to be teaching our children that the old time way is the right way and the old time religion is the right religion, if you will. I think dads ought to be teaching and concerned with salvation in their families' lives and letting the Bible be the final authority in their life and the ultimate authority in their life, and that the old time religion is right. I think dads ought to be teaching their children how to love. The Heavenly Father teaches us how to love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9, it says, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." Dad, you ought to be teaching your children about the love of God. You ought to be teaching your children about the importance of loving the poor. You ought to be teaching your children about the importance of loving sinners, and loving the backslidden, and loving the brethren. Now, I thank God for Mrs. Owens. And I thank God for a wife. My wife is a very loving, kind, tender lady. And I don't mean this vainly. My children will tell you, they know their dad loves people. They know daddy loves the poor. Now they know dad loves God, and I love God ultimately in life, and everybody else is going to have to get in line in second and third place because I love God more than I love anybody. But my kids know that I love. Men, it does not make you weak when you love. It makes you powerful when you love. God is love, and a man ought to love. Hey, he ought to love God, and he ought to love the Bible and love the old-time way. You ought to love that. You ought to love it more than money, men. You ought to love it more than fame. You ought to love it more than you love your own body. There's some of you so consumed about yourself and everything else, you're not being a good dad because you don't love right. But your kids ought to be learning to love. Love. And dads, you ought to be teaching that. You say, "I leave all that to my wife." You're doing the wrong thing then. You're to be an example of that. Not only that, you're to teach your kids how to hate. You say, "What?" Yeah, you're to teach your kids how to hate. Hebrews 1:9 says, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." God is the great lover. God is the great hater. You ought to teach your kids to hate lying. Hate stealing. I didn't say hate the liar. I said hate lying. Hate stealing. You ought to teach your kids not to hate people. They ought to hate immorality and hate worldliness. How many of you have ever heard the name Dr. John R. Rice? Would you raise your hand? Dr. John R. Rice's wife was with Mrs. Owens, and this is a long time ago. And so you know, Mrs. Owens was a very young lady. A long time ago. Mrs. Owens was with Mrs. John R. Rice, and they were together, and Mrs. Owens had been her hostess and taking care of her for days. They were riding in a car together, and Mrs. Rice looked out the window and seen a liquor advertisement. That old patriarch of the faith, Mrs. Rice, turned to my wife and almost in a panicked way grabbed her by the arm and said, "Honey, teach your children to hate sin. Teach them to hate sin, because if they don't hate it, they'll try it." Let me tell you something, folks. We live in a pacifist society. Some of you parents that don't have any grit about you, you better get some grit and some determination. You better stand for something. You can't be a pacifist and go along with everything and expect your children to have a conservative safety in life. It doesn't work that way. And dad, you ought to be teaching your children that we're to hate sin. We live in such a mamby-pamby, sissy-britches society. We want to love everything. Love the devil. You're not supposed to love everything, and you're not supposed to love the devil. There's some things that we're to hate in life. No, we're not to hate people. But if you don't hate wrong, your children are not going to get the right impression about wrong. dads, are things we ought to teach our kids. We ought to teach them about salvation and teach them that the Bible is the final authority, not just in their life, but in our life. The old-time religion is right. And teach them how to love and teach them how to hate. God knows we need a revival in our country of parents teaching their children how to handle their money. Part of the responsibility of child-rearing. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, 9, and 10 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." Listen, when you're busy teaching your children not to steal, which you ought to, you might want to include God. They shouldn't steal from God. Our children began to give to God their tithe when they got their money. Our kids were given money when the day they were born. We began to tithe on their money the day they were born. From that point on, all the way through their life, they were taught not to rob God and to handle their money right. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Folks, we need to teach our children how to handle their money. You got to teach your children to earn your money, not steal it. You need to teach your children to save. The Bible's really clear. The Bible says, go to the ant and watch how the ant will put away in the good weather. So when the bad weather comes, they have plenty. Now listen, we got to teach them to save. They ought to be taught how to tithe on their gross, not on their net, and how to give an offering, and how not to overborrow. Good night in the morning. What a mess our country got into when a whole generation decided to borrow beyond what was reasonable in their life. You ought to be teaching that. Moms and dads, you get the idea. It is the public school's job to rear your kids, or the Christian school's job to rear your kids, and you have lied to yourself. You can't buy your way out of the responsibility to raise your kids. You say, well, they took economics class. That's not enough for them to learn how to handle themselves financially in life. I don't have a joke. If I did, I'd use it right here to get you to relax a little bit. We ought to teach our children. Dad, you ought to be teaching your kids how to work. Psalm 128, verse number 2, it says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be with it, and it shall be well with thee." Dads, you ought to be teaching your kids that to sweat is good. To sweat is good. And they ought to see you do it. To be tired is good. It is not a curse to perspire. It is not a curse to be tired. It is, dads, we ought to be teaching our children to finish the job. Hey, and one of the best ways to teach them to finish what they start is you finish with God. Don't you be bailing out on God. Don't let your kids see you quit everything. Everything for God. You want to quit everything. Why, Dad? Don't be a used to beer for God. Be a doer now. Listen, dads ought to be teaching their families and teaching their kids about work. Folks, work is good, and work is fun sometimes, and sometimes it's not. I would just love to go to work if I enjoyed what I do all day long. Well, when you find that job, you let the billions of us know where it's at, because we're going to join you at that. But you're to go to work whether you like it or not. And you're to be on time whether you like it or not. And you're to work hard whether you like it or not. You say, "Brother Owens, you sound like my dad." I hope I sound like the Heavenly Father, because we're to do what's right whether we like it or not. Hey, and I might throw this in here, dads. You need to teach your children to not let work destroy your family or destroy your relationship with the church, too. If you work all the time and you never come to church, there's something wrong there. That's not supposed to be happening either. There's a balance in life that ought to be achieved. What am I saying? Dads, we need to be involved in the teaching of our kids. We teach them salvation and teach them the authority of the Bible and teach them that the old-time religion is right and how to love and how to hate, how to handle our money, and how to work. I think it's a wonderful thing when a dad can teach his kids how to win a soul to Jesus Christ. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." See, I'd like my children to be wise. Teach them how to win souls. Teach them how to mark their Bible. Take them soul winning with you sometime, Dad. All my children have been soul winning with me. Hey, we need to teach our children self-control. Self-control. Galatians 5:23 says, "Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law." Temperance is self-control. And dads, we ought to be teaching our kids self-control in their spending and self-control in their anger. We ought to be teaching them self-control, and that is patience, and self-control with their food, and self-control with the opposite sex. They ought to be learning that. Don't depend. Hey, I want us to have a church, and we try to have a great program around here. I mean, we've got choirs for little ones and children and teenagers and adults, and we've got all sorts of meetings and all sorts of classes. But folks, that doesn't take the place of the home, and it dead sure doesn't take the place of dad trying to teach their children how to do what they need to do to survive in this life. We're to be practicing self-control. And I'm not a humanist. I think that self-control is bathed in Holy Spirit submission. But we're to be learning those things. I think we better be teaching our children what to be looking for in a mate. Biggest decision made in life is whether you get saved or not. The second biggest decision a child will make is on who they marry. You don't leave it to chance. Colossians 3:19 says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Boy, we ought to be teaching our sons and our daughters about what it is that they're looking for in a good mate. And they need to learn. They need to learn that. If you don't teach them that, they're not going to know it. And dad, you ought to be concerned about it. We ought to teach our kids, dads, how to be good followers in life. The Bible says in Luke 22:26, "But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve." There the Bible is exalting servitude in life. And so you know, and men, I don't know many of you that feel this way. If you do, I'm sorry for you, but being a servant does not make you less of a man. Jesus was the greatest servant ever. But we all ought to be teaching our children, our sons and our daughters, to get in and serve, how to help people. Boy, I still think it's right for a young man that sees a lady carrying a box to go help her carry the box. You say, well, I'm not sure that that is correct in our day and our time. There are a lot of other fruity things that they say is not correct in our day and time, and it's still right. Men are still supposed to be men, and ladies are still supposed to be ladies. And they're still supposed to be treated right. I don't care how bad the society deteriorates. And our kids need to learn that. They need to learn how to humbly follow. You hear about the dad, he went out and he found on sale this fantastic toy. He's got 5 kids at home. And he got the kids together and he said, "You know what? It's time to figure out which one of you kids are going to get this toy." He said, "Let's figure out who deserves the toy." He said, "Well, who in our family obeys everything mom says? Who in our family never talks back to mom? Who in our family is properly scared of mom?" And the kids looked at each other and said, "Okay, Dad, you can have the toy." I really do fear that if we're not careful, folks, we'll stop doing what the Bible teaches with our kids. The government doesn't own our kids. The schools, they're there to supplement, but they're not there to raise our kids. And dads, you need to remember something. God deems you head of the home. I'm not talking about being a rude tyrant. I'm talking about an opportunity and a responsibility. And you ought to be involved in training your children, Dad. Train them about salvation. Teach them about the Bible. Teach them of the old-time religion. Teach them how to love. Teach them how to hate. Teach them how to handle their money. Teach them how to work hard. Teach them how to show someone to go to heaven. Teach them some self-control and how to find the right mate and how to be the right kind of a mate. Teach them that serving is good. Hey, Dads, I think it's very important, and I'm going to give you a couple more and we'll be done, but I think, dads, I think it's important that our children learn some drive and some tenacity in regard to the need of it for success in life. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Do you realize, folks, that in the public school system today, they're trying to do away with so many things that could draw success out of kids? They virtually want to do away with a grading system to where you could fail or succeed. You see, I grew up, if you got an A, that was at the top of the grade, and if you got an F, that wasn't real good, and you need to figure out a way to change your report card before you get home. You say, why? Because God was going to, or Dad was going to change me when I got home. Listen, you know what they want to do? They virtually want to take failure and success out of the system. They want to give you an S for satisfactory or unsatisfactory. I've got news for you, folks. Life doesn't work that way. It just does not work that way. We've got to teach our children to strive for success. Young people, better yourself. Better yourself. Work hard. Push to make yourself better. And dads, some of you dads that are just extremely overbearing, you got to get some balance on this. And some of you dads that are very, very lax and you're like a wet noodle with everything that you do, wet noodles don't serve a whole lot of purpose in life. But I got to tell you, somebody needs to teach a child you keep on going in life. Somebody's got to say, you get in there and make something happen. Dig! When I was growing up, my coaches coached. They weren't sissy britches sitting on the sidelines. They said, we're going to make something happen. We played to win. Back when America played to win, we won wars. And you say, you're weird. And it's okay. I've been weird for a long time. It took me a long way to get myself in this condition, and I'm not planning on changing anytime soon. Dads, boy, you ought to be striving and let your children see that in you. Boy, we are rearing a generation of couch potatoes. They don't want to go outside. They don't want to sweat. They want to sit and do this. And here's what a young person would say. Well, I'm going to be a gamer. I'm going to make games for my income. Okay, there's only a percentage of people that are going to do that. And somebody's going to have to dig some ditches, drive some trucks, put some nails in the ground, cut down some trees, paint some houses, wire some houses, manage. Somebody's going to have to work because the whole country can't sit on their backside and us expect to survive. So young people, if you say, well, I'm just going to sit here and play, you're not going to succeed playing. You're just not. And parents, mamas, let dad, for kids to get dirty, did you know that's okay? That's why we have washing machines. There's nothing wrong with a boy getting dirty. Some of you moms, you're overprotective. Your boy's going to turn out to be a sissy britches if you're not careful. Got to learn something. Well, he might get hurt. Are there any adult men in here that have ever been hurt at work? Would you raise your hand, you adult man, you ever been hurt at work? Oh, my. Jason, where was your mama? You better be careful, moms. There's something that goes along with them turning out, sissy. You might want to be careful. Boy. When I was growing up, it was just terrible. Every time I turned around, I was out with my dad under the hood. Now I had grease all over me. My parents used to give me radios, and my dad would say, go fix it. I never fixed a radio in my life. But I tore them apart. My dad loved Craftsman tools. You say, why? Craftsman will replace them. So what's the big deal? Me. Pastor in my last church, and I got up on It was on a Father's Day, and I threw a fit. I said, some of you dads, you need to let your boy eat a worm. And I had people all creeped out that night. I was coming into my office. There's a little boy outside my office. He's standing there. He's about four. He said, preacher, I did it. I said, well, what'd you do? He said, I ate a worm. It's a big one. He's so proud of himself. Eating a worm will keep him from putting his tail between his legs and run when somebody's got a gun pointing at him on a foreign field while we're trying to keep America safe. Hey, a drive for success. And I tell you this, and I'm finished. Dads, teach your kids to serve God, not just drop in at church every once in a while. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. Growing up, I watched my dad as a bus captain, as a Sunday school teacher, going down to the jail and preach, winning people to Jesus Christ, getting people in the baptistry. I watched that. He wasn't just religious on the outside. He went all the way to his wallet, to his feet, to his mind, to his heart. He wanted to make a difference for God. He wasn't playing religion. Be a participator, not just a spectator. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. The one thing I just want us to remember today, daddies, don't turn it all over to mom. It's a team effort. There's things that our young people, our children, need to learn. You can father a child, but that does not make you a good father of a child. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whether you're a young person or an adult, if you're not saved, I could not give you any better advice than that you trust the Heavenly Father and you let Him save you. The Bible says everyone's a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. The Bible teaches if you will realize that Jesus is the Savior and you'll ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior, He'll save you and you can go to heaven someday. If you're not saved, I recommend to you the Savior. We're going to have an altar call in a moment. In a second, the pianist will play, we'll stand, and if you need to get saved, you come. We'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, we'll help you with that. But if you need to be saved, you come. Then, may I ask, dads, is there a dad here that would say, preacher, I've been challenged today, been reminded of the awesome opportunity as well as responsibility as a dad. God helping me, I want to do right and be the right kind of a dad to those that would call me dad or father. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? The hands up all over the place. God bless you. You put your hands down. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. Dad, if you need to come and pray for a moment. Young people, anybody, you need to come, you come, you use this altar. Some lessons from a dad. Some lessons from a dad. What kind of a lesson? A lesson about salvation. A lesson about the Bible and its authority. A lesson about the old-time religion. A lesson about how to love, how to hate, how to handle money, how to work hard, how to win a soul. A little self-control in life goes a long way. How to pick a mate. How to follow. How to succeed. Not just to be religious, but truly be spiritual and involved with God. Doing something for God, not expecting everybody to do something for me spiritually. You need to be saved. You come. You come to one of these men standing down front. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Let it be a comfort to some of you. You say, my son, my daughter, I tried to teach them right. I tried to help them. They still have done some dumb things. They've done some wrong. Let it be a comfort to you. The Heavenly Father is a perfect dad, and He has kids that mess up. That does not make Him a bad dad. It makes them a disobedient child. It won't be long. We'll be on our way. Dads, let this day challenge you. Moms, I probably would not go home and re-preach this sermon. You let me do it, you'd be better off that way. Children, You can help make your daddy a success by doing right. You do right, and you help your dad become a more successful dad.